And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. We see that glory today in the first chapter of Mark, verses 14 and 15. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," He said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." In Jesus' name, beloved of God. We've heard Jesus speak before, haven't we? When He was 12 years old, we heard Him speak at the baptism when He was baptized by John. We heard Him speak to the devil. But now He comes preaching, proclaiming the good news of God. What a risk He took. Some of you are studying to become public preachers, and you know some of the risks that are involved. But actually, everybody who shares Jesus' word with others runs the risk of having them say, "Don't preach to me." Sometimes they mean, "Don't preach to me about a hopeless past. There's nothing I can do about that anyway." But Jesus did not come preaching merely where you went wrong and what you should have done. He proclaims not a hopeless past nor powerless directives for the future. He preached, "Right now, the kingdom is near. This is the acceptable time." God willing, it won't be long, and you will be looking back on your time at ILC. And as you get older, it will get shorter, until finally you won't remember a lot of your high school experiences. But if you remember one thing, I hope it's the word of Jesus. This is the acceptable time. The kingdom is near. This is the time that Adam and Eve looked for in the distant past. This is the time that Isaiah looked for when he said, "Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." At the right time, Jesus came. And just as sin had passed from Adam to all men, even though they had not eaten the fruit themselves, so also the righteousness passed from Christ upon all, even though they had not been righteous in themselves. If someone has never heard this great news before, now is the time to know it. If you've heard it 1,000 times before, now is the time to grow in it. Jesus came preaching, and He risked hearing, "Don't preach to me, you're talking down to me." But as Jesus told the Jews in John 8, "You are from below, I am from above." It's not a terrible thing for one to talk down when he actually is above. It is a gracious thing for someone who is above to talk to those below. It's a thing that he would not have to do. And yet, instead of talking down to us, Jesus came down. Came down to take our place. And he came preaching. Do you think he heard anyone say, "Don't preach to me, it's only words"? With many people, this is true. What they bring is only a word, limp, wilted, without any power, when stripped of atmosphere or religious surroundings. Many times our advice to one another is just words. But with a king, it is different. It is by his word that a king rules. Satan ruled when Adam and Eve followed his word. But the word that Jesus brings is more powerful than Satan's. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Satan never made anything. And all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. That even includes the angel who became the devil. When Jesus came, then the kingdom of God had arrived. For his word was the word of the King of Kings. Sometimes when people say, "Don't preach to me," they mean, "Don't lord it over me." But how different when it is Christ the King's word. Instead of making demands of his subjects, Jesus gives gifts to them. When he says, "Repent, change, leave sin behind," he has already removed our sins from us and carried them himself. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sin from us. That's the good news of his kingdom, his rule. Satan no longer rules. His word no longer leads. The kingdom of God is at hand. When Jesus says, "Repent," he's urging us to take our forgiveness seriously, to drop all the other excuses, to face the truth, and to trust in that good news. Trusting that our sins are taken away means that we can no longer walk in them. They're gone. And the life we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. He has conquered Satan's hold over us, and he is Lord of all, though he doesn't lord it over us in the sense that that's so commonly spoken. He laid down his life for us instead. He came into Galilee preaching, and what a kingdom had come. A kingdom where the king is a father who has caused his subjects to become his own dear children. In a world of sorrow, sickness, suffering, sin, wickedness, violence, pain, sweat, toil, and tears, he calls us to turn away from anything and everything that does not lie directly on our path to our Heavenly Father's open arms. And in that kingdom, nothing that does lie in your path will ever be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So yes, dear fellow students of the Word, yes, please preach to me as he has preached to you. Amen. We sing hymn 487, the first two and the last two stanzas of 487.